going not equal yet. No, we're nowhere near it. I'd love to express my needs. I could do get right to the point without being called rude. For example, hey, babe, go make me some food. I bet that...
Welcome to Growing Up in America on KPFT Houston Pacifica Radio with our host from Children at Risk, noted child activist Dr. Bob Sanborn, and policy expert Mandy Kimball. What do we have on tap today, Bob and Mandy?
Woohoo! Hey. Happy Monday!
Hey, we're back, Mandy. Can you believe it?
Yes! I have missed this place.
Right? I mean, the whole pitch, the whole drive, we've been gone.
Unfortunately, but we're here today, and it's not over, and this is the hour for our listeners to call in and support their favorite show, Growing Up in America.
This is everyone's favorite show. We know this, right? Don, our engineer, this is your favorite show, isn't it, on KPFT?
One of.
Well, Don, my man.
What, I can't, I have to... You know my position. I can't just say yes. This is my favorite.
Well, I'm happy to advocate for this show.
Yes, it's our favorite
second
show.
Favorite, Bob.
Oh, yeah, Dwayne's out. Dwayne, you like Open Journal just a little bit more, but this is inching up, isn't it?
It is. It is. Especially when you and Mandy are present. Nothing against your guest attemptee hosts of the past few weeks.
Attemptee, Mandy.
They were fantastic, and we appreciate it.
They did a great job.
Well, you know, this is the deal. Mandy and I travel around the state. We're activists for children. We're trying to do it, right? And so every once in a while, we have to be out of the studio, Mandy.
We do. I know. But we are here today, and we want to thank everyone for their support of this show. And it means so much, right? So this is an opportunity for us to, for 1 hour, talk about kids and what is going on with our children and what can we do to improve their lives.
And this is a time in our country and in our city where a lot is going on, right? New superintendents. We have kids. You know, these child activists that are forming up in Florida, right? I'm so excited about these anti-gun activists that we have coming out of schools and just all sorts of things happening in our in our environment that we really need to address. And we do this every week. We talk about the whole realm of things.
That's right.
But if you want to kick it off, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Dwayne and the entire crew of people out of Pledge Central out there ready to take your phone calls. And
let's keep them busy.
And I know we have a bunch of buddies out there that have said, hey, when Bob and Mandy are there, we're going to call in. This is your time. Because, Dwayne, this is the end. This is the last time that people have their chance, right, for the next couple months at least.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we haven't been in a pledge drive since around Halloween. So we made it all the way from late October until March. And as we celebrate KPFT's 48th birthday, which was March 1st, we're hoping that we'll raise enough money to forego another endeavor like this until, ideally, September. But, I mean, that's a long ways from now. I don't know if we can make it 6 months without having to dip in again, especially when I look up on the big board and I see about 182,000 on the tote board. And our goal is 250. So...
we're going to have to work a little hard on that, but this hour, people
this
are
hour
gonna,
the goal is only 400.
Well, we're going to
plus the shortages from the previous 2 weeks.
Thanks,
which is, hey, I'm doing the same thing with my own program this evening at 6.
Yeah,
we had to make up for last week. We went over by 15 the first week. We were short 400 last week, so we've got to raise $900 this evening. Similarly, in this hour today, the goal 400 each week. That's $1,200 over the 3 weeks of the drive. This is the last drive, and we've only raised about $200 total so far.
Well, Mandy and I are here. We'll,
we're shooting
all our
for
buddies,
about 1,000 today, guys.
Our buddies are going to call in, Mandy.
Last week was spring break, so we'll give people a break. But now it's time
now
to
it's
get
time.
Back to it. Yep.
If you care about kids, if you care about community radio, if you care about children's policy, and if you want to help all the activists in our country that are working on behalf of children, this is the only radio program.
This is the show.
The only radio program in the country that addresses children's public policy.
What did you both do on spring break?
I was working. I was working mostly. But how about you, man?
I was with my kids, and we had a great time. Yeah. Did the museums, did the zoos, did the parks, did the downtime, the libraries. You know, quality time.
Yeah.
Downtime.
Well, the community has missed you, Mandy, so we're glad to have you back here. So, hey, this show today, though, Mandy, it's going to be a good one. We have Dwayne out in the Pledge Central, and then we're going to start off the show today with Katie Martinez, who's the Associate Director of Development at Children at Risk. And the number today, Mandy, 3,130.
What could it mean?
What could it be?
Stay tuned and find out. And then after Data Head, we'll be talking with Deanna Holscher, the Director of the Michael and Susan Dell Center for Healthy Living, about school physical activity, nutrition, obesity, and Texas. Deanna Holscher is doing a lot.
She's a big expert.
She is. And Texas is very excited. I'm proud to have her in our state. Reducing childhood obesity is what she does.
She's one of our friends. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to our good friend Under the Dome with Jason Sabo. And Sabo today is going to give us an update on things that are happening in Austin regarding legislation for children in Texas.
That's right. We have primaries. We have the budget. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Lots of stuff going on there. We love talking to Sabo.
And then today on our social conscience scale, we want you to call in and share your opinion on thumbs up, thumbs down, elementary schools with 4 recesses per day.
All play. What? All the time.
That's right. And you can call in and give us your thumbs up, thumbs down when you pledge.
Is there such a thing as too much recess, Mandy? Can there be such a thing?
Ask a child.
So my first question to Jenny, who's going to call in, Jenny Iyer, who's going to be there, was, well, is the school day longer when you get 4? And she said, no, it's not any longer.
That's right.
So they just fit in these little mini recesses, right?
There you go. Little brain breaks. Little, research shows.
Yeah, well, this is thumbs up, thumbs down. People may have a different opinion than you, Mandy.
That is true.
Actually, you and I often have different opinions on thumbs up, thumbs down.
That's right.
We?
And the people usually agree with
you.
Thank you. Mandy, thank you very much.
It's funny how people don't follow the facts. They just agree with you. They go with their heart, and their heart's with Mandy.
Come on, please.
Right? It's just so nice. Right? It's just a wonderful thing.
Move on.
Our final guest today will be Deborah Stein. Deb Stein is the director at Partnership for America's Children, and she'll be discussing the partnership's state and national policy work. Basically, a little update on D.C., and then we have that new funding for child care.
That's
so we're going
to talk
a little bit about that huge funding. It's like a win. In this sea of losses for children, we had this one child care win. It's sort of an interesting thing, isn't it?
It'll be a great conversation. It is exciting. We're going to have a fantastic show today.
It is going to be good. Mandy is here. Dr. Bob is here. Dwayne is here. It's like all the biggies. We have Marissa and Don out in the booth, right?
Woo.
They're just doing it up. So welcome to Growing Up in America here on Pacifica Radio. This is a discussion on our children, public policy, politics, and our future. How do we do as a country when it comes to taking care of all of our kids? And Mandy, you had a good spring break, though, right?
I did. It was nice. Always.
And Kyler and Mason, they went wild.
They enjoyed it. Yeah.
Did they go wild? Were they wild? The boys wild?
They're always a little bit wild.
Always a little bit
wild.
Yeah,
right? But not too bad.
They take after their mom.
Sometimes they're in school all the time, so when you
this was fun for them.
That's right.
You didn't bring them to the office either.
I did not, because I was off. Everyone needs a break.
They love coming to the office, though, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
We like to race up and down the hallways.
I know.
So it's fun. So are you ready for a little Data Head?
Let's do it.
And Mandy, when you were a kid, your nickname was Poetry in Motion, wasn't it? That's what they used to say about you on the basketball court.
Not so much.
I mean, you were a big basketball player, but one of our favorites is Katie Martinez. Katie is here. She's a big cheese over at Children at Risk. And Katie, this is your debut, though, right, on the radio?
It sure is.
Yeah, very good. Oh, are you
on speaker?
You better take off that speakerphone. We don't allow We do not allow speakerphones. So
Does it show? Is that better, guys?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you can't do speakerphone. That's one of our number one rules, right? Because you can always tell when people are speaking. So, Katie, you can tell she's a newbie, right?
It's okay. So she's got a great number for us, though.
So what is your number today, Katie Martinez?
My number for you guys is 3,130.
3,130.
I would say this is a very timely topic.
It is time. Is that 31 hours and 30 seconds? Is that? Tell us what it
Give
is,
it
Katie.
To us, Katie.
So more than 3,130 student walkouts were scheduled around the nation on Wednesday, March 14th for 17 minutes, one for each victim who died at the shooting in Parkland, Florida.
So 3,100. So that's so there are 8,000 schools in Texas, and so only 3,000 or so schools in the nation protested, huh?
Yes.
Is it probably because it's a lot of high schools, Mandy? What do you think?
Well, I think because there were people were trying to deter them as well from doing it, right? Right or wrong. Yeah. I know that there's several different opinions on how to handle the situation.
So. And was it
also think about how spring break fell for us last. Some of those schools couldn't participate in that.
I thought it was really interesting, Katie, right, that here, like, Needville ISD was like, oh, we're going to do 3 days suspension for anyone who walks out. And they're on spring break. You know, they're, like, making this big thing, and they're out on spring break. What's the deal with that?
I'm not sure. And actually, surprisingly, the ACLU did some research for students trying to educate them on their rights. And they actually found that you can't discipline more harshly because of the political nature of the message behind your action.
Yeah. I wonder if Needville cares about the ACLU.
So, but was that worse than what they would have normally had?
Yeah, it was. It would have been worse. Mm-hmm. That was our thumbs up, thumbs down last week, Mandy, I think, or 2 weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago.
Maybe it was a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was you and I, actually.
It was.
Oh, okay. Katie, I mean, was this considered a good showing on the part of students?
I would say so. I mean, it's also incredibly inspiring, right? You're seeing this next generation getting out, speaking about some of their passions and stuff. So I would say it was a pretty good showing.
You know, there's different ways that people can show their passion, right? And their feelings for this. So one way is you could just walk out of school, which quite honestly, I don't know how productive it is.
Oh, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I know you did. Mm-hmm. But and there's other ways as well, like...
There was, if you went to do something odd, right, that no one else was doing. Well, or what else could you do, Mandy?
You could be nice. You know, when
should
we're
you be nice
about,
every day?
You should be nice every day.
Yeah. You're nice every day.
I try to be.
Yeah. Katie, you're nice every day.
I try to be as well.
But do you go above and beyond and out of your way? So, Katie, talk to us about some other opportunities people are taking.
Are there different things that people are doing, Katie?
There is. There's another movement also called kind of the Walk Up movement. And that involves, you know, walking up to these students and being kind, inviting the person that's alone at lunch to come and sit with your group, those types of things. And those conversations are actually being had now, which is always a good thing, too.
Just like be woke, walk up.
Walk up. Yes. Don't walk out. Don't turn your back on the situation. Just try to be nice.
Mandy doesn't get the woke thing, Katie. So.
Like woke? You woke me?
Yeah, no, it's Katie, explain what woke is. Do like a teen talk with Katie Martinez. No, I'm not making it up. Explain what it is.
You know, I think you could explain it a little bit better than I could.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's basically being woke.
Because
it's like
Bob
being politically
just
aware.
Just made it up.
No.
Katie and I don't know what you're talking about. He doesn't know. Oh. There you go. You know what? I'm going to make up words and just say it's cool.
So when you call in a pledge at 713-526-5738, we'd love for you to give Mandy a little description of what woke is. It's becoming politically aware. We're asking young people to become politically aware. Okay. And that's being woke. That's what the name of it.
Yep.
But I do love how Katie and Dawn are like, really, they're trying to protect you, Mandy.
Thank you.
They're like, they know that you should know this.
They know.
But
I
they're
have
like
their back.
Being really nice to you. And they're like pretending, oh, no, we don't know. We think Mandy's right.
Uh-huh. Now, other things that people are doing is leaving notes to everyone, right? Like, so you get a whole stack of sticky notes.
Yeah.
And you go, and people are putting them on lockers so that at the end of the day, everyone had something nice written about them on the locker.
And something nice is being said on the little sticker.
Yeah, and you can, like, here's 10 sticky notes. Go put it on 10 lockers. Tell them why they're important. So that's part of it, right? Because people feel alone. They feel neglected.
But how does that stop? I guess that's just trying to be nice, and the idea is creating an environment of nice.
It's a movement.
It's a movement of being nice. I appreciate that. But you know what I really appreciate? I appreciate these young kids in Florida who are all about this political movement of stopping guns, right? And really being active. And I talked about this at the staff meeting this morning, right? This whole idea, and you and I, you know, we're so realistic most of the time in terms of like what can pass, what can't pass. But what I love about what these kids are doing It's completely passionate, right?
Yep.
And I think that's what people are buying into, is this deep passion of doing something about guns.
That's right. Well, and I hope it doesn't stop there. I hope it doesn't with them.
No, we want it to keep going. And I want to believe them, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I, who are the biggest realists in terms of politics, I mean, we do children's policy in Texas. We have to be realists. You know, I believe these kids. I believe in these kids.
I believe in them, too. Keep it up, people. Come on, kids.
Katie, any parting words?
No, not at all. Thanks for having me, guys.
Katie Martinez, Big Cheese of Children at Risk. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. I always love talking to Katie, too.
She's great. She does a lot of great
she's
things.
She's very good. So are we ready for Deanna Helsher? I guess we're going to try to get her on the line. But as we begin to talk about health in Texas, Mandy, for your kids, I mean, do you really feel like that your kids are growing up in an environment where they're naturally going to be healthy? I mean, do we live in an environment where
naturally.
Our kids are going to be healthy?
I mean, I hope so, right? But we have a lot more to do. I mean, so my kids get PE once a week, and then they get recess every day. I think they're privileged when you look at what's going on around the state. A lot of people don't even have recess every day.
Yeah.
And then they also have Fitness Friday, which is cool. Although I will say I was a little bit disappointed. I was at their school the other day. You know, last week was National School Breakfast Week.
And did they – oh, and that was spring break.
So I was talking to administration, and they're like, what? I'm like, so have you had a lot of kids having breakfast this week? And they're like, huh, what?
They didn't know. But what is Fitness Friday? That sounds really fun.
It's when you go out for like 30 minutes, kind of like another out class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like PE.
It's like another
fun.
PE.
Fitness Friday.
Recess,
yeah, but
it's
everyone,
organized.
The whole school has Fitness Friday.
They all go out.
Yes.
Why don't
Not
we do
Not all
that?
Together.
We should do that at our organization.
We should.
Fitness Friday.
Or Thursday. Fitness Thursday would be great. Just switch it up a little bit.
Because you're always out of the office on Friday. You're like doing activism in Austin and stuff. So you're ready to be back. So, hey, let's go to Deanna Helsher.
I like to move it.
Yeah.
Oh, see, look at that theme music.
I like to move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it.
All right, Deanna Helsher is the director of the Michael and Susan Dell Center for Healthy Living in Austin at the University of Texas. Deanna, how you doing?
Doing great. How are y'all doing today?
Good. How'd you like the theme music?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Made me want to get up and dance.
I know, right? So who sings that song, Mandy? That's like, isn't that your ringtone? That's real to real, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell us about some of the work that you guys are doing on healthy living in Texas for kids, Deanna.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the new projects that we just have data from is a statewide survey on obesity and related behavior, so nutrition and physical activity on kids in Texas in schools.
Yeah. And overall, what is the health like for our kids in schools in Texas?
Well, one of the disappointing things is we did not see obesity rates go down. Mm. So they seem to be staying about the same, maybe even increasing a little bit, which actually is similar to some U.S. trends.
Really? And historically, though, or over the, what, maybe past decade, there's kind of been a decline. Is that correct? No.
Somewhat of a decline, although a new paper in pediatrics that was published just a couple of weeks ago actually shows that there seems to be more of a linear trend, you know, depending on how you look at the data.
So how many of our kids are obese or overweight or at risk right now? What percentage of our kids would you say, Deanna?
It depends on the grade level, but basically it ranges from about 1 in 5 to more than 1 in 4.
Wow, so 20 to 25%, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And this is a conversation that people have been having for quite some time, right?
And it seems to me, Deanna, that when Dr. Helsher, that when Mandy and I used to talk about this, say, 10 years ago, we would talk about how our state legislature seemed to respond pretty positively to the fight against childhood obesity. But has it had the impact that we want? And have they continued to be sort of with us in the fight against childhood obesity?
Well, I think a lot of legislation was passed, particularly in the early 2000s, for coordinated school health and required PE and so on. And that seemed to have an effect. So we seem to see kind of a blunting of the obesity rates, especially among fourth graders, which is where most of that legislation was geared.
Yeah.
But I think in the ensuing years, these are unfunded mandates, and it's just difficult for schools to keep these going without funds.
It is difficult, and unfortunately, when we look to next session, I don't know if funds are going to come as easily, right?
No,
that is
right.
Always the conversation. But in visiting some of the schools, there's been a slow movement of people have embraced it, right? Funds always help, especially for school districts that have low-income kids, right, who are in areas that they don't have green space, where they might live in food deserts. And so how can we give the extra supports needed for these communities and these schools to keep them on track? And I feel even though that there's a culture that has embraced healthy living, it's really hard for some districts.
Yes. I totally agree with you there. I think some of what we want implemented in schools and that is shown to be associated with better outcomes really doesn't take that much time on the teacher's part, but I think they just have so many other competing interests and regulations that it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
But even easy things, I heard you mentioning Fitness Friday. So we've had Fresh Fruit Friday where kids bring a fruit for a snack. So that's something else you can do.
Well, that is great. One question that I have for you, Dr. Holscher, is, you know, we talk about obesity, we talk about health, and then you have another conversation talking about mental health and behavioral health. And I think that if you look at health in general, they're connected, correct? So those kids who are not interacting healthy or appropriately with other kids might not be the first ones to go out there and run around with them on recess. Are you having any conversations to really look at the larger scope of how can we increase physical activity and have healthy minds as well?
Yes. In fact, we have some data that show that if kids engage in kind of a mean amount or average amount of 60 minutes of physical activity a day over a week, and that can be PE and recess, that they tend to behave better in class. So other studies have shown the same effect. So it really behooves the teachers to get the kids up and active. And you can do that through activity breaks in the classroom. Mm-hmm. There's materials that we have and other groups have that teach teachers how to get the kids actively engaged. There's a lot of really neat things you can do, painting the sidewalks, for example, and incorporate activities when kids are moving from classroom to classroom or recess or after lunch.
Painting the sidewalks, I love that, right? Dr. Holscher, during the last legislative session, as we were talking about recess, I remember talking to a number of legislators, and at first I would just talk about the need for recess and for kids and learning, and it seemed like a lot of eyes glassed over. And then when I started talking about the dog whisperer, Cesar, and how he would say, dogs will misbehave unless you take them on walks, unless there's exercise, and our kids are the same way, it seems like legislators got it, right, when they compared it to their pets.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the idea that they need to exercise or else they'll be poorly behaved. But this
That's sad.
It is sad, right? But this is our kids are very much like this, right? They need this exercise. They're going to be better behaved. They're going to learn more if they have PE, if they have recess, if they get to move around a lot. It seems like a natural thing, but I guess teachers are so busy. There's such a mandate on teachers to improve test performance that they sort of disregard some of the other stuff and focus on the tests.
That's totally true. I know if you've ever had to take care of a 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5-year-old, you know, you want to keep them busy so that they'll take a nap later. But, you know, it even works well I know for us, activity breaks in the work site. It's really important for us to get up and walk around. I couldn't imagine having to sit and do the concentrated work we do without breaks every once in a while.
Wow. Deanna Helscher is the director of the Michael and Susan Dell Center for Healthy Living at the University of Texas. Deanna, before I let you go, our thumbs down today will be some schools are doing these 4 mini recesses. Do you like that idea? Are you thumbs up or thumbs down on that?
Yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say, actually. So, hey, thank you for the work that you do, and thank you so much for being on the program today.
Same to y'all, and thanks for inviting me on.
All righty, take care.
Take care, bye-bye.
You're listening to Growing Up in America on KPFT Pacifica Radio. It's a pledge drive here on Growing Up in America. 713-526-5738. We need you to call in. Let's see, Debbie and Eileen and Sylvia. And we have so many great friends out there that call. Steve regularly calls. Alvin. These are people we need you to call. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Do we have any joy in Pledge Central right now, Dwayne?
Yes. The mighty Casey has not struck out.
Excellent. Excellent.
So spring training. You know, baseball reference.
Yeah, gotcha.
We have a couple of, I think the largest donor family to KPFT are the Anonymi. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous and their various scattered children around the Upper Texas Gulf Coast.
They are generous.
And, you want to join the Anonymi, be happy to take a call from you at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, 526-5738, JAM KPFT, 713-JAM, J-A-M, KPFT. Call in and support Growing Up in America on its third and final incarnation of this Birthday-thon 2018.
Wow.
Celebrating KPFT's 48th anniversary as this bastion of freedom and free speech on the radio dial here in the fourth largest city in the United States.
The Petro Metro.
Right here in the heart of the Petro Metro in beautiful downtown Montrose, blasting 100,000 stereophonic watts of FM power right to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
So I want to thank Mr. Anonymous for making a very generous pledge. Put it on the fantastic plastic.
Fantastic plastic.
Visa, Discover, American Express, and MasterCard, all quick, easy, and painless ways to manifest your good wishes for this radio station, and in particular for this program on the radio station. Also, yeah. Miss Anonymous made an uber generous pledge.
Uber from Miss Anonymous.
Yes, uber generous.
Thank her.
So
thank
we're
her very
well
much.
On our way to making up for, you know, a shortage that we had from the
oh, there we go.
First
thank
two
you.
Attempts.
Thank you for
making that call. Your call makes all the difference. Visa, Discover, American Express, MasterCard, cash, check, money order, electronic funds transfer, credit, debit, you name it. Make the call, and then we can do it all from there. But you have to let us know. Make us aware that you're there. 713-526-5738. Show us you're there, that you care, you got something to spare, you're willing to share to keep growing up in America. On the air.
Keep growing
He's
up in
so
America. 713-526-5738.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 713-526-5738. They're calling away, Mandy.
Thank you very much.
That's good. We want them to keep on calling. Hey, you ready for a little bit of Under the Dome with Sabo?
Always.
Very good. Do we have any theme
music?
Oh, it's the crazy train.
Hi.
Hey, Jason. How's it going? How's the crazy train in Austin going?
It's actually been a pretty busy day here in Austin.
Yeah, we've had some testimony.
A lot of folks putting in some time down at the Capitol talking about public schools.
We have some of the Children at Risk team is down there. We have Andy Canales down in Austin today. Yeah,
exactly. It's one of those days where when you look at the people who are going to be testifying, you know that there are some people who are going to be down at the Capitol for 8 or 10 hours, probably, all day long, waiting to get
Edith
their 2 minutes
there too.
Glory to speak.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope,
wow, very good. Jason, how have you been doing, man?
Very good. Very good. It's been busy. Things are exciting over here. I think today, now that we're through the primaries, we're getting a little bit more clarity.
Well, let's talk about the primaries.
Yeah, let's talk about the primaries. So one of the big races was we were all wondering about Sarah Davis. You know, she was with us on science. She believed in science, one of the few that believes in science. And so she had a sort of, from the far right wing, a challenger. And The governor supported the challenger, and Sarah Davis won.
Yeah, and there are lots of interesting races, but you know, one of the things I think that you have to talk about first, before you talk about any specific race,
okay,
is the fact that it's March and we're having this conversation.
I know.
It's like March, and 90% of the elections that are going to be decided in Texas have now been decided.
They're done. They're finished.
So, but you think about it, the Sarah Davis race is one of the examples that shows why these primary races are so important. This very front-loaded system. And you know that, you know, a House of Representatives, a state House of Representatives race, getting the governor's attention, really becoming a flashpoint around issues like immunizations and that kind of stuff, which really shouldn't be issues in political campaigns.
Yeah. So, Jason, how are you feeling? Because there were some very contingent primaries or races this past month. And quite honestly, from Mandy's point, I'm like, let's keep with the moderates. Let's keep with the moderates. And there was a lot of pressure there, tug and pull, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the outside, what do you think it's going to be like going in to Austin next year?
Well, I think if you're looking at this round of primaries, if a message were being sent, the message that was sent this March was, particularly on the Republican side, that the moderates really are the ones that have, like the Sarah Davises to your earlier point, the moderates are the ones who are really going to keep winning these races. The voters really ultimately are not going to opt for a more politically to the right candidate in a lot of these primary races. There's a lot of money put into a lot of races, and a lot of moderate incumbents and moderate candidates, not incumbents, were victorious. So if you look at how things bode for, what does that mean for 2019? It means maybe a window into the most important part of 2019, which is going to be the selection of the Speaker of the House, remembering that Speaker Joe Strauss isn't returning to the House of Representatives, so the Speaker's gavel is going to be changing into the hands of someone who knows who. Houston's own Chairman John Zerwas has had his name aggressively promoted. He's already announced that he's going to be running for Speaker, as have a handful of other folks. So keep your eyes on that.
Let's talk about that for a second, Jason, because the Speaker historically, at least with the previous Speaker, we had someone who, Strauss, was very pro-children, right, in terms of the things that we believe in, you know, and we live in this very red state, but he was about as pro-children as we're going to get as a very moderate Republican. Zerwas also, in a sense, has been very pro-children. He's a physician himself. He cares about health care. He cares about kids. Are we going to – will that come up as we sort of select a speaker for the next House, this, you know, who's going to be pro-children, who's not pro-child?
And I think, to your point, Joe Strauss was a comparatively moderate conservative. However, let's remember that a lot of things that occurred while Joe Strauss was Speaker were very, very conservative.
Yep.
Numerous, you know, redistricting maps that have been shot down at discriminatory, massive budget cuts to schools. So from a comparative sake, perhaps, you know, more on the moderate side of the scale, but ultimately, by general political standards, an extremely conservative Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? It means that the next Speaker is going to have to position himself. You know, this is a very extreme. You know, but Joe Strauss is a very, very conservative Republican. And when we're now talking about him as a moderate somehow, all of us to say that the next Speaker, in order to protect that very flank that we're discussing right now, is going to have to be even more conservative than Joe Strauss has been. What does that mean for kids? I don't know.
We're still fighting to prevent vouchers, which we know would
That's
be bad.
Right.
We're still fighting to make sure that our kids are healthy, which is always a deal. We're still fighting for early education and pre-K. You know, these are things that we know sort of equalize things and it's tough.
That we need to keep going, especially on a budget that's always limited, but going into next year is going to be more difficult than ever. Jason, can you briefly talk about what do you think are going to be some of the strategies for the legislature next session around the budget?
Well, one of the things that we're going to be seeing very, very soon is that state agencies are going to be asked to put together their legislative appropriations requests. You know, we always think that, you know, the legislature meets every other year. We don't really need to pay attention until, you know, after the elections maybe. The agencies will be determining what their budgets look like for the 2 years coming forward in the budget cycle this summer. So if you really want to know what's happening with the agencies that that are responsible for the programs that you care about, now would be good time to be getting involved and looking and understanding very clearly that those agencies are probably going to be asked to make pretty significant cuts. We know that Harvey, the state, has not been fully reimbursed for all the expenses related to Harvey. Mm-hmm. Harvey had larger impacts on the state budget. Those impacts haven't really been felt yet, but we'll begin to hear conversation about the money we don't have because of Harvey in January 2019, if not sooner.
Wow. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff to go. Jason, we need to get you back on the air more often, man. Keep talking
well,
about some
of these
things. Well,
I'd love to, anytime.
Hey, it's a pledge drive, too. If you wanted to call back and do a little bit of a pledge, 713-526-5738, Jason.
Awesome. And I love the guy with the rhyming. He's the most high-energy person I've
ever
had.
I'm telling you.
Dwayne Bradley.
Dwayne is great.
And Bob, I appreciate your wokeness, for the record.
Yes, thank you very much. Can you believe Mandy doesn't know what woke is?
You know, OWWT, man. Old woke white guy.
Jason is not surprised that I don't know. We've worked together for a long time. Thanks, Jason.
Take care.
Take care,
Jason. All right. You're listening to Growing Up in America, KPFT Pacifica Radio. It's Pledge Drive Week, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. We're going to have our Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down segment coming up. Then we're going to be talking to Deborah Stein, who is the head of the Partnership for America's Children out of D.C., get an update from D.C. Hey, Dwayne, he likes your rhyming, right? Jason likes your rhyming.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Well, Jason, back that up with a phone call to 713-526-KPFT, 526-5738.
Use the fantastic classic.
I'll do more.
Hey, how did we do in the last break? Did we get a little extra there?
We ended up with information phone calls, which is it's nice.
We like that.
We like to keep people informed.
Did any of them try to explain what woke was for
Can
Mandy?
You tell him
nobody was willing to go that deep.
No. They love Mandy. They don't want to really try to school Mandy because she's so good at schooling us.
Yeah.
So 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Hey, we'll catch you after Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, Dwayne.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, right? So, oh no. Not our regular thumbs up, thumbs down music, but we'll take it. I'm not going to take it. I am not going to take it, Mandy. So,
all right. So today we are talking about, should elementary schools...
Four recesses
per day.
And on the line with us is Jenny Iyer. Jenny is the director of our Children's Health Center in North Texas up in Dallas. Jenny, how's the weather in Dallas, by the way?
It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty nice down here right now.
Cloudy, right?
So that's good.
It's okay, though.
It's nice. It's sunny, right? So, Jenny, what do you think about this idea of four recesses in a school day?
Well, I love the idea. I know that it might not be for everyone, but I am a huge, huge proponent of it.
So tell us about this idea of these schools that are doing, how are they doing four recesses? Because you said the school day is not longer, right?
No, the school day has been restructured. And I'm speaking specifically about the kind of this trend of happening, schools participating in the LINC project, which is out of TCU. And they restructure their day. So for about every 45 minutes of classroom instruction, they have a 15-minute break to go outside and play. And, you know, I have been reading all about it and have spoken to Dr. Ray, as you both have as well.
Yeah,
and teachers don't find that they're losing any classroom time. Their kids are coming back, and they're ready to learn and kind of excited about learning because they were able to get outside and kind of get their wiggles out.
We need that break.
Get the wiggles out.
It's not that hard to imagine. And, you know, earlier you were talking about last session and talking with public officials, and their eyes kind of glaze over.
Yeah.
But you know what? The response is usually, well, I used to have two recesses back
right.
in school,
right?
And so
right.
when we're looking for, might be like, oh, my goodness. But if you chop them up into little pieces, it equals
it's even more fun.
One or two recesses
but
that everyone
fun.
Used to have.
More recess is more fun. And it means more learning, Jenny. Is that right?
It does. You know, the school districts where my kids will attend, they are, you know, they advertise the fact that they have the Link Project and that all of their elementary schools have four recesses. And that school district has seen an increase in their reading and math levels in the classroom. And they've also seen a huge decrease in behavior problems, which also can take away from learning time. So getting rid of that is once again, adding more time to learn.
And not the wiggles.
Jenny's all excited that she gets bragging rights on her school district because not too many.
I know.
Have, right? But this is something that I think more schools and school districts are interested in. Can you talk a little bit about the research project that you're doing around recess and some of the findings that you see?
Around the state, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we, you know, through our work with school districts, had heard you know, anecdotally, that recess is being taken away from kids and, you know, more time on task, and they weren't getting to go outside and play around and have a brain break. And so we wanted to find out where this was happening, you know, what were those numbers, what was really happening. And so we are in the midst of surveying every school district, or, you know, we'd love to get information from every school district, but from those that will participate in, you know, do they have recess policies? You know, a school district might have recess, but they don't have a policy around it, so that recess could be taken away for, you know, not turning in your homework or, you know, something really, really little. And so we want to know what's happening in Texas. We want to know what school districts have policies and what those policies are, and kind of look at best practices and do some case studies on those districts that have a good recess policy and are finding that it works.
So we're big thumbs up here.
Everyone's thumbs up.
Everyone's
thumbs up to four
thumbs up.
Recesses.
We had Dana Hulsher was on the show earlier. She did thumbs up on this one. Dwayne did thumbs up. Jenny does thumbs up.
We just think kids should be healthy. You know, talking about
science.
Healthy.
We believe in science.
I want to ask Jenny. I know, Jenny, you worked with a lot of school districts around the National School Breakfast Week. Very quickly, how did Texas do during National School Breakfast Week?
I think we did pretty well.
Jenny's
a lot of
so
really great events. It was a lot of fun.
But Mandy's school district didn't even know about it. Fort Bend ISD.
No. Do not say that. That is not true.
Your school. Your school.
Yeah, and
your
I'm
specific
not talking
school.
Bad about Fort Bend ISD.
No, you're not.
I mean, I'll stick
you
up for them
not.
Any
we
day.
Love Fort Bend ISD. Yeah. Your school didn't know about National Breakfast Week, though.
Maybe it was just one person.
I think it was the one person you talked to.
So we'll get them probably, next year.
Yeah, all we right. will. Yeah, there you go, Jenny. That's the way to do it. So Jenny Iyer is the director of our Center for Health and Child Policy up in North Texas. Thank you, Jenny, for all that you do. Thanks for being on Growing Up in America.
Of course. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thumbs up to Jenny is what I say.
Thumbs up to Jenny. Thumbs up to you.
And to you, Mandy.
And to Dwayne out there.
Yeah. So 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We want our buddies. Thumbs up to the listeners.
We want our buddies to call in. This is your time. Hey, if you care about kids, if you care about public radio, if you care about this one-of-a-kind in the nation show, Growing Up in America, this is your time to call. Give us a $25 or $50, $100 donation. We really appreciate it. And if we talk to you, if you hear us, if we speak to the things that you're interested in, we want you to call us.
I mean, this show has lots of things to offer, not just Bob's thoughts, which, you know, are entertaining.
Or Mandy's thoughts, which are always correct.
But information about what's going on with schools. Right around the corner is summer. I'm sure that we'll be doing a focus on summer food programs, activities out there available for kids. Then soon after that is going to be the 2019 legislative session. And this show has legislators call in, issue experts calling in, informing you about what's going on and equipping you, really, to advocate and speak out and ensure that all children have an equal opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about that. 713-526-5738. Give us a phone call and do your little pledge. And, Dwayne, you're going to let us know. You're going to let us hear the phones as they ring.
Yeah. Again, we've had a number of information calls. We've had the two anonymi, an actual Mr. Anonymous and a Miss Anonymous, a big family of supporters to KPFT. We can thank you anonymously. Join that large family. We can use your full name if you'd like in the hopes that maybe somebody will hear that, oh, if Dwayne Bradley likes this show,
right.
Well, then I'm going to support
That's
it.
That's exactly right.
He's so uber cool. Or if you
uber,
just want to use
uber.
Not sure about that,
first name,
first
name, full name, no name. The important part is that you actually support something you care about. That's KPFT. And please understand this. This is the most unique public radio station. There are other public radios, but those are all either a school station, university or college, or church station, predominantly evangelical Christian.
And where do you find them on the dial, Dwayne? Where is it? It's between...
Between 88 and 92 on the FM band. That's that's reserved by the Federal Communications Commission for NCE broadcasters, non-commercial educational broadcasters. We are the one in between jazz and Jesus.
That's what I was going for.
Everything.
The jazz and Jesus. I always love being right in between jazz
I love
and
jazz.
Jesus.
I love Jesus. You know, right. I'm cool with both.
Yeah.
I'll be in the middle.
I'm down with Jesus. I'm down with jazz.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What I'm talking
so,
about.
But we do all the things that you can't commercially exploit, or something that might rock the boat a little bit, or something that is just a little bit too eclectic or a little too cool for, you know, everyday experience. So KPFT is the platform for the otherwise marginalized aspects of our community. We weave this tapestry of sound together through our donated energy. The programmers like you two come in here. This isn't part of your job.
Nope.
You come in here because it's part of your passion.
We love it.
That KPFT provides the platform for that passion to be expressed. So we get to let the community come in and shout it out to itself. But those of us who maybe aren't part of that community specifically, maybe some other community, we get to eavesdrop on the entire community and find out what's going on everywhere and get exposed to a lot of ideas and people and thought and art and
Man.
Culture and music that we would otherwise maybe not run across, even though it's all right here in this amazing, amazing place that we call the Petro Metro.
Let's give it a call, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. You know, Jason Sabo and I often argue who talks the most, but you know who wins? Dwayne Bradley. Dwayne, my good buddy Dwayne. And Dwayne, yesterday was your birthday, right?
It was, Bob.
Oh,
yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank
I think
you.
You're 29 yesterday, right?
Well, just to prove that how young or old I might be, I became a Beatles song yesterday.
Oh, when I'm 64. Mandy was looking puzzled.
No, I wasn't. That's for my eyebrows.
Do you still
up.
Need
Look.
Me? Will you feed me?
Vera, Chuck, and Dave.
That's right.
Well, happy birthday.
We haven't heard from Vera, Chuck, or Dave. I'll just tell you.
Give us a call. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. All right. We'll come back to you, Dwayne. Thanks so much. A little theme music here. We got a little theme music. Who's this? Do you know
Grizzly Bear.
Oh. Theme music for Deb Stein. Deborah is... She's the head of the Partnership for America's Children, based out of D.C., and I happen to sit on the board, and Deb has to put up with me every board meeting, Mandy.
Oh,
you know, I'm like a big...
It takes a special person to do that.
Man, I'm like a... If I'm on a board, you know this, I'm like a pain in the neck, right? So Deb is with us today. Deb, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very
Great.
Good.
Great. Happy Monday.
Yeah.
Happy Monday to you. Hey, Bob, the thing is, you're supposed to be a pain in the neck. You're an advocate. Your job is to fight out for the kids.
Exactly.
So I'll take it. If you're making me do a better job for kids, it works for me every day.
You know what? But when I tell him that he's a pain in the neck, he was like, Mandy, we're advocates. I'm like, no, don't use that as an excuse.
See, that's what I use. I use this.
We need to get on the same page, lady. I'm just kidding.
So, Deb, I wanted to ask you about the child care money. You know, we see so much bad news coming out of Washington, D.C. And then all of a sudden, it seems like here in Texas, certainly, we're getting all this new child care subsidy money. What's going on with that? How did this Republican Congress, Republican president, manage to do something good for us?
First of all, let me say that it's not quite a done deal, and we'll know a lot more about that tomorrow morning.
Ah, okay.
But the way it works is in the Senate, in the U.S. Congress, certain kinds of bills, including all the appropriations bills, have to pass a vote. It's essentially a motion to finish debate and move on to a vote. And that requires 60 senators to vote for it, not just 51.
Right.
And what that means is that when you're negotiating spending bills in this Congress, where there's only 51 Republicans, they need to pass a bill that is going to pick up at least 9 Democrats. So back when they were trying to settle funding for the government a few weeks ago and we had the short shutdown, they ended up negotiating a huge overall compromise that would reopen the government back then, that set some overall spending limits, which had really been the underlying problem, and the reason we'd come so close to government shutdown for so long was that they needed to raise those overall spending limits and hadn't been able to agree to it. And they passed some important reauthorizations of programs. That's why we have the Children's Health Insurance Program for another 10 years
right.
now, for
yeah,
example.
Exactly.
And then they made, in the context of that bill, even though they didn't actually pass the individual spending bills for the rest of fiscal year 2018, which goes through September, they did reach some agreements about what would be in there. And there's actually three separate ones that are probably all important to Texas. The first one's the child care money.
Yeah.
The second was disaster relief, which
yeah.
obviously
mm-hmm.
matters
yeah.
a lot for you guys. And the third was money for opiates. And the
opioids,
epidemic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Three pressing issues.
And so this is what you're saying, basically, is a lot of sort of maneuvering on the part of legislators to get things that they want, and in the process, kids went out, got a couple little victories.
That's exactly right. But they still had to do the final bill, which is why I say
yeah.
we'll know a little bit more tomorrow, because tonight they're releasing that final bill. And we'll know exactly where the child care money is, whether they did, in fact, keep their promise about how big it would be, but also which programs they're putting it in. They had really pretty much figured out what they were going to do with the hurricane money. In fact, Bob, I sent you that bill.
Yeah.
But they are still figuring out exactly where the opiate money will go. And we'll know about a lot of other kids' programs tomorrow morning,
yeah.
too.
There you go. Well, and it's really important for us to keep a close eye on these issues. Deborah, we were talking earlier about the primaries and how important it is to stay abreast of issues and what does it mean for Texas. What do you have to say to our listeners? What can you tell them in regards to children's issues as we see elections and campaigns moving forward? What should the message be?
So I think the most important message is that We want to know what the candidates think about children and how they're going to support them. What your listeners may or may not know is that this is actually a really big election year, because I think it's 36 states have governor's elections this year
yeah.
and legislative elections. Every 4 years, we have 1 year where most of the states are holding their elections, and this is that year. So not only is it obviously important at the federal level, but lots of states are going to be picking the people who set policy for kids for the next 4 years. And we need them to tell us what kind of policies they'll support. I saw an interesting set of polls out of Alabama just the other day, back when they had that special election with Roy Moore, which was so controversial.
Yeah.
And the pollsters tested all these different messages, pro-Roy Moore and pro-Doug Jones and anti-Moore and anti-Jones. The strongest message was really one that just talked about kids' education.
Yeah, public yeah. education. Yeah, that yeah. was in the New York Times, I think, yesterday, right? We talked about
right.
this whole idea that what parents on both sides of the political aisle really cared about is quality public education and the education that their kids were going to get.
That's right.
Exactly. So yeah. we need the candidates to understand that that's what people will vote on and what voters want to know. And then we want them to really tell us what they're going to do. And sometimes what that means is educating those candidates about what choices they're likely to face if they get elected, because they don't always know the details. And so they need to understand we're saying to them things like, well, you're going to get this child care money, probably.
Yep.
Where would you put it? Are you going to try and increase funding for infant toddler care so we can increase the number of centers that can do really good care for infant toddlers? Are you going to, you know, reduce ratios, you know, make it increase subsidies across the state so that the centers can have more staff per kid, which we know provides better care. How are you going to use that money? They may not know they're facing those questions. So a lot of the time when you've got an educated audience, like the people who I imagine are listening to us right now,
who
know
educated.
What some of those questions are, when they ask those candidates questions, they help those candidates think through what they're going to do more.
So it's really important to stay involved, make sure that they hear what we're interested in,
absolutely.
Right? But to ask those specific questions, what are you going to do?
Be pointed about this. Yep. Before we get to our final 454 with Deb, I want Deb to have a chance, really, in the next 30 seconds or so, talk about the Partnership for America's Children. This is a very prominent organization that you lead, Deborah, and give people just a brief elevator speech on what you do with the partnership or what the partnership does.
So the partnership has 52 members in 41 states, and they're all organizations like Children at Risk that advocate for kids at the state or local level, that try and make better policies for kids at those levels. And that really matters because two-thirds of all the funding that supports kids is actually state or local money, and most of the federal money is administered by states. So that's where the policy decisions are being made that most affect kids. And the partnership members are the ones that fight for it, and they fight for it across the entire range of what matters to kids. So kids, you know, school readiness, school success, child health, child safety, equity and inclusion, family stability and economic security. Basically, if you name it, some partnership member somewhere is working on it.
There you go. As long as it helps kids, right?
Mm-hmm. That's you got
the,
it.
That's
and
the thing.
The role of the partnership is that to keep them all connected so that they can learn from each other, so that they can partner together on initiatives, and so that they can kind of be stronger as group than individual. And my job is to keep everybody connected with each other, with national partners, make sure funders understand why it's important to fund them, and basically grow the strength of kids advocates.
All right, Deborah,
child in the country should have a strong, effective child advocacy organization.
Let's do the final four very quickly. Ready, Mandy?
All right. So first question is, what was your favorite toy to play with as a kid?
Oh, I had a giant panda, like 3 feet tall.
Nice. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
Ballerina.
I could see it, Deb.
And what was your favorite book to read as a child?
I think Little Women, probably.
Little Women. That's a good one, right?
Nice.
And your favorite TV show as a kid, Deb? Very good. Deb Stein is head of the Partnership for America's Children. Deb, thank you for the work that you're doing, and thanks for being a part of Growing Up in America today.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you so much for your role on our board. Believe me, I really appreciate it, and I've learned a lot from you.
All right. Thanks, Deb.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Growing Up in America,
Woo!
This is your final chance, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Give us a call. And, Dwayne, what are we sitting at right now, about 750?
We are sitting at 950.
Woo!
There was a $200 web pledge from an unknown source.
Thank
you.
Oh, thank you very much, unknown
so
source.
So 950 puts us within $100 of reaching the total goal for this program.
Wow.
Let's go.
If someone calls with 50, I will match it. If someone calls with 100, I will match it in the next...
Got to be like 2 minutes.
Next 2 minutes. Yeah. Do it. Call the next
713.
526-5738.
526-KPFT.
Or 713-JAM-KPFT, J-A-M-KPFT. Does anyone ever say they use that? I know it sounds really cool, but I'm not sure, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Jam, nope. But I love jam, and I love to jam. Mandy, don't you?
I thought you like Federal Preserves.
Yes. When we're at the Federal Reserve, there's always the ongoing joke that we have to have some Federal Preserves.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, listen, it's been a pleasure. And, Dwayne, thank you so much for being with us. You've been here 3 weeks. Mandy and I have only been here this last week, so we want to thank you.
I've noticed.
Thanks, Don. Thanks, Marissa, the Khaleesi Johnson, who does such a good work out producing the show. Mandy, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, and keep up the great work all across the state of Texas.
We're trying.
Taking care of our kids. Mandy's going to go home and hug her kids. You need to hug your kids.
Y'all got a good team.
I wish
more people appreciated it.
It's not too
late, folks.
Call us, 713-526-5738. We'll see you next time on Growing Up in America. We do this for children. Keep up the great work, guys. Take care. Oh, They're giving us a whole minute. A whole minute.
A whole extra minute. Don't Mandy, stop.
713-526-5738. Don, what is this? You're like giving us extra time? I'm happy
That's
to take
so
it. I'm happy to take it, Don.
You're welcome.
713-526-5738. Mandy, this is the time for people to call in.
That's right. We need you to call in and pledge your support to Growing Up in America, the only show that dedicates an hour to children's issues, children's policies, where you receive timely information, get the opportunity to listen to public officials and experts in education.
You are so good.
Health and nutrition.
Great guests from all over the country. It's one of the things we do, right? We specialize in great guests from all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
And then Mandy.